Janae and Golden Jr., the podcast.
I am here to tell you that the OG has spoken. It's Janae and Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike with the ladies of First Take, Her Take, the podcast. Because we taken over. It's Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, and Charlie Arnold, as you see all the time on First Take in Sports Nation. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I say this because, you know, by quote, we had the great Christine Lisi in the break say that I used to go on friendship dates all the time. And then Cliff, our board op, showed her the picture of what we were talking about. And she said, oh, that's not a friendship date. So the OG has spoken, and we have the verdict on that. Thank you, Christine Lisi. We love you. Now, when it comes to the hardwood, y'all, we don't have the verdict yet, in my estimation, on the Brooklyn Nets, because obviously Kevin Durant is back. But, you know, health is still a question with James Harden out for the time being. But it was still a great showing for Kevin Durant. Right, Charlie?
A great showing. It was an amazing showing. KD had missed 23 games, made his return last night against the Pelicans. It was an absolute blowout. And Durant, on his part, ladies, he came off the bench. He scored 17 points, was 5 for 5 on shooting from the field, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block. He only played 19 minutes. The man was on fire. So here's KD after the game.
I expected to come out here and play the way I played. I wasn't trying to ease into the game. I just wanted to go out there and dive right into the action. I mean, the game was already fast-paced already, so from watching it from the bench, I knew exactly how I needed to approach it. But it was pretty cool coming off the bench, I can't lie. But it was also good to play in front of the fans as well.
All right. So Kevin Durant obviously feeling himself as he should, but we've got someone on the other coast who is yet to make his return from injury, but the timetable for his return is nearing. So, Chinay, I'm going to kick it to you first. Who do you think is going to have more of an impact on their team when it comes to winning a title? Is it going to be LeBron or will it be KD?
This is really difficult because I've said Kevin Durant is the icing on the cake. And when we saw him with Golden State, he took an unbelievable Golden State Warriors team. He took them to the next level. He made them unstoppable, untouchable. And what he's going to be able to do for Brooklyn, if they're able to be healthy and have all their stars out there, obviously they're the favorites. But honestly, based on the amount of talent, I'm talking about Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, the new acquisitions, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. I mean, 41 all-star appearances, so many all-NBAs. It's going to be LeBron James having the biggest impact because that's just what he has to do for this Los Angeles Lakers squad. Anthony Davis, a talented player, but those two are going to have to shoulder a lot of the load. And one thing a lot of people haven't really noticed is the question, obviously, is which of the supporting cast will step up? They got younger with their supporting cast with Dennis Schroeder. They got younger with Montrezl Harrell. But the reality is they've been still searching for that answer. And LeBron James has consistently showed up and showed out, especially leading them from the three-point line, but then changing his game when Anthony Davis went out and attacking the paint. So LeBron James, I made this, you know, equation to us on First Take. It's almost the same vibes you get from 2016 with, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it's ironic because Kyrie Irving is his running mate, staring at the Golden State Warriors, who all of us thought they had more talent, but it took a super heroic effort and multiple players to step up in order to win that title. And so I sort of see the same thing happening. Now, Brooklyn might have too much, but it's largely going to be based on LeBron James' shoulders and his performance, which, mind you, he is older, 36 years old, and I know that's something you touched on, Kimberly, earlier as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I always laugh when NBA reporters talk about load management. But yeah, LeBron is the answer because he has to carry a bigger load. Look, Kate, don't get it twisted. KD is the X factor in Brooklyn. But why do you get these why would you assemble this superpower type team? It's almost like why would you get all the Infinity Stones to have infinite power? Like to me, the Brooklyn Nets, they're set off the bench. They're big three. I think KD is the most important piece, and it's critical that he stays healthy. But like you said, Chinay, the fact that they have three guys that at any night on any night. One of them can show out and show off and drop 40 if need be. The fact that Harden can sacrifice his own stats, dish it out, or he can show up and he can say, I'm taking this over. The fact that KD is like, oh, yeah, I haven't played in 23 games. Yeah, y'all haven't seen me in a minute. But okay, I'm going to play my little 19 minutes. I'm gonna have everybody waiting for me to show up. And when I finally do, I'm perfect from the field. Like, that's a beautiful thing. LeBron just does not have the luxury of all those pieces, starters and off the bench guys.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page as you there, because the offensive power, as far as the Nets are concerned, is unreal. There are so many pieces to that puzzle that add so much. And even Brian Windhorst earlier on First Take said it. I can't remember the exact verbiage that he used, but he said something around the lines of, in my 18 years of covering the league, the Nets are the most powerful team, the most dominant, the best. He said something very complimentary of the Nets, and it's something that he hasn't seen in his whole 18-year career in the Nets up to this point. And he knows his stuff, and I think it's very easy to see that. So I have to say, LeBron is going to be the bigger factor and going to have the bigger impact when it comes to whether his team can win a title or not, because he will have more of the pull. He can't rely on as many people. And one of the big things that we're watching right now is really the trajectory of the Lakers, and things aren't looking like the Lakers probably thought they were when they started off the season, coming off their championship from last year. I mean, right now they're in the fifth spot, but ladies, if they happen to fall to seven at the wrong time, they're looking at the additional challenge of that play-in tournament. And, you know, even if they do stay put, the West is stacked. So the playoffs aren't going to be easy, you know, whereas right now the Nets, they're sitting at the top of things, and then that's a good place to be. So it's on LeBron. If they want to win a title, LeBron needs to get it together, and that's going to mean staying healthy and also load management. We're going to have to forget that one for a while.
Kimberly, what's your beef with load management and us in the basketball world? Like, what's your beef, Kimberly?
Listen, I happen to cover a sport where guys have high ankle sprains. They go out, they smash each other in the head like it's a car accident, and nobody complains. And we talk about load management.
Hold up.
We talk about load management in the NBA.
I'm sorry. Didn't they just announce the new 17-game schedule in the NFL, and there was already conversation of load management, Kimberly, and it's only one extra game?
Yes, which is what, and I brought up, I was like, I can't believe we're talking about we're going to be talking about load management in the NFL. Oh my gosh. But yes, that will be key. How you want to rest guys as the season goes on, if you're approaching that playoff spot or if you've already clinched it. Yes, yeah, so load management talk all around.
Oh, okay, hold on. So did a little Miss Thang just switch up her stance on load management?
No, I understand it. It's just so, the term is just so funny to me.
Yeah.
And now the fact that NFL players are going to have to start paying attention to that, it's just wild.
Yeah, it is a really funny term. That's but mean. Hey, y'all, I'm a veteran in this league, and your girl will be using it whenever necessary, okay? Guilty. Now, Kevin
as
Durant.
As long as it keeps you in tip-top shape for First Take, Her Take, we are all for load management, okay?
That's all you care about in I only care about you guys. You ladies always come
first.
That's
all I care about.
Now, it's been really funny because Kevin Durant and LeBron James, they're all stars that probably have to deal with load management to some degree. We've seen both of them take extended periods of rest. They have some seasoning on them. You know, there's some veterans. But what about the young stars, the young ones? Because there was a controversial list, and now I have one of my own. So, and by the way, y'all, my list is way better. My list of top NBA players with potential
slamming
under the age of 25. I'll give you that next on the First Take, Her Takeover of Chenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now. Come look at our beautiful faces on ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Y'all, Tom Brady is right now living his best life, literally, at Disney World. Many trips there for him. Now, is there anything that can stop him next year after they re-sign 22 players, which is nuts? Kimberly will tell you in exactly 10 minutes. But first, it's Chinay and Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogbomike and the ladies of First Take, her taking over our ESPN Radio. And it's myself, Chinay Ogbomike, Kimberly A. Martin, Charlie Arnold holding it down. And ladies, I don't know if you saw this, first and foremost. There was a list that went out there, and we always listen to our big brother, Stephen A., and Stephen A. really ripped the list. It was a list based on NBA stars, all under 25, all, you know, talking about potential. Did you guys see that, Charlie?
Well, yeah, because I was hosting First Take on Wednesday when he had to come back and be like, yo, everybody, relax. Not only am I a sports analyst and, you know, a host, but I'm also an entertainer. So everything I say, please take with a grain of salt in regards to certain things. You know, if I'm being a little sarcastic, please do not get overly sensitive, because that is what happened. People were coming for Stephen A., and you know what? The man's just sharing his opinion. Relax, everybody. So, yes, to answer your question, I saw and I heard.
Okay, good, good. Because I wanted to step into the arena and give my own list. And I'm going to do my best to keep it on point. Facts only here. So here is my starting five of top NBA players under 25. Let's go, Cliff.
We got to get you the information you need about the NBA.
Sorry, I was all the way deep
into my bag.
Chinay, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information.
These teams are hot. Heat is on the stove hot.
We want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you Chinay's starting five.
All right, here we go, number five. All right, let's do this thing. My top five NBA players under 25. Let's do this, starting with number five.
Number five.
So this was the heated debate today on First Take, and I've already had so many Phoenix Suns fans all up in my mentions. I'm going at number five, Devin Booker, who was way too low on the original list, but this man is a bucket, and we saw that on full display last night when he took down the Utah Jazz. I mean, this guy is a baby face assassin. We got a taste of it, you know, leading into the bubble where he went off. They went 8-0, and they've carried that over, and his game has really taken the next step forward, especially tag teaming with Chris Paul. So, number five, Devin Booker. Number four.
Number four.
Number four on this list, and this was neck and neck, and we talked about it on First Take. Donovan Mitchell, I've got him there just because he's had to be that man. He doesn't necessarily have an all-time great, a Hall of Famer he's playing, you know, with when it comes to the offensive side, because he's got it on the defensive side with Rudy Gobert. Now, this season, Donovan Mitchell, he's taken a step forward, both as a three-point shooter. He's making a career-high 40% from three while attempting a career-high 8.6 threes a game. And also, as a playmaker, his assist rate is up to nearly a third, which is great on a per-minute basis. So Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell, they can oscillate four and five, but they get major respect on my list. Let's keep it going. Number three.
Number three.
It's the Chinay and Golic Jr. First Take, her take over. And the judges, I know you guys are listening to me and getting ready for your comments, and I wonder if there's anything that you guys think is out of place. But number three, I have to go to Zion Williamson, just because I know a lot of people saw last night the Brooklyn Nets sort of slow him down. But the reality is, this man is a beast. Averaging 26 points, 7 rebounds, almost 4 assists. He brings the ball up so much, so often for the Pelicans, and he's built, Kimberly, like a linebacker, but what he has is also explosiveness. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of grace, and what he's going to be able to do in this league, a lot of people saw when he was at Duke. He's going to be the face of the NBA, and I don't think he's slowing down any sooner. All right, our favorite number here on Chinay and Golic Jr.
Number 2.
At number two, and this might be a shocker for you two, but I really love his game, Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum of the Celtics. And I think he's number two because this man is polished, but you know in the years to come, you're probably going to see his talents in the NBA Finals. This guy is averaging 25 points, 7 boards, and nearly 5 assists. He's upped his passing. Obviously, already he's led his team to 2 appearances in the Eastern Conference Finals. And y'all, he's just 23 years old. He's already a franchise player. I think the Celtics have a lot to work on. They're trying to figure themselves out. But this guy is the number one option. He's a star. And hopefully he will be utilized in a way that they can make a deep playoff run. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting to number one. Here we go.
Drum roll, please.
number one.
Number one on this list is the number one on the other list, Luka Doncic. I mean, just 22 years old, he continues to find ways to elevate his game. I mean, he is averaging almost 30 points, almost 9 assists and 8 rebounds this season, which are on par, you know, with his averages from last year. But it's his efficiency this year, especially outside shooting, that has improved. You know, he started the year struggling with a shot, but then now he's shooting a career best 37% from deep and then a career high 48% from the floor. So he's upping those marks. That's the growth that you really want to see. And Luka Doncic, I mean, if I'm starting a team, I am drafting him overall number one, just because he literally stepped into the league, and this happens a lot of times with international players, a grown butt man. He's grown, he's got game, and he entered almost, you know, rivaling LeBron James as MVP, which means he's a future face of the league. So my list at 5, Devin Booker, 4, Donovan Mitchell, Zion Williamson, then at 3, Jason Tatum, and then Luka Doncic at number one. Kimberly, and then Charlie. Thoughts on my list?
So the thing that set Stephen A. off was LaMelo. I'm curious. He was not in your top five, but I'm looking at the list from our ESPN insiders. He was 3 on our ESPN list. I'm curious, who was number 6, Chiney? Who was the guy that just barely missed the cut?
You named him, LaMelo Ball. And I think the only reason, I mean, obviously his potential is through the roof, but it's hard to sort of grade, you know, especially as a rookie, it's hard to grade how great that person will be, because at some point the league adjusts you. But what I will say is that his passing has been amazing. So you nailed it. LaMelo was number 6. I also wanted to give love to De'Aaron Fox, who was having a tremendous season out in Sacramento. So those two were my honorable mentions. Okay. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
And De'Aaron Fox, if you're looking at the list that was compiled by the insiders, he was number 6. So he just barely missed the cusp in that regard. So here's my question to you, and it's not as straightforward because we just watched the NCAA tournament. All right. There was so much talent throughout the entire thing. I'm curious, this time next year, could there maybe be a rookie who enters into your top 5, someone who really showed out during the NCAA tournament?
Ooh, I like this, because so many people were talking about fade for Cade Cunningham, but a lot of people also like Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga. And so it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, his final game changes the hype he had, or if, you know, NBA draft talent will be consistent on that. But ladies, that was my starting 5. Welcome to the family for being the judges. You guys, I hope it was better than what we saw on the other list. Can we get?
Stephen A., what do you think? What do you think about this list? Are you listening?
Look, I'm just hoping it was better. I'm holding
it
down.
Upset that man. Woo.
I know. Don't ever do that to him again. But these guys are clearly the future faces of the NBA. But what about the current face of the NFL? That's Tom Brady, you guys, because the Bucks, they have reloaded. Now, is there anyone or anything that can stop Tom Brady and the Bucks next season? That's coming up next. But first, I have to tell you guys that clearly you have to check out our virtual Q&A for Chiney and Golic Jr. in advance of the NFL draft. Join us on Tuesday, April 13th. At 8 p.m. Eastern time, as we all hop on Zoom. So yes, come join us and hop on Zoom, and we will see you and answer your questions. Now, registration is free, but space is limited. So register now at bit.ly/CGJ421. That's all lowercase. That's bit.ly/CGJ421. All lowercase. When you register, make sure you submit your questions. It can be about the draft, it can be about The Bachelor, it can be about basketball, it can be about booze, good eats, anything really, for a chance. And then we'll obviously give you a shout out and answer live during the event. That's going to be so much fun. But back to business here, because man, Tom Brady living his best life. Who or what can stop him? Kimberly A. Martin with the answer next on Chiney and Golic Jr., the First Take, her take over on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, in about 10 minutes, we will have fun again as we keep that same energy, because it has been a day from First Take for all of us in the morning to now Chinee Ogoma Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogoma K and the ladies of First Take, Her Take, Kimberly A. Martin, NFL reporter, and Charlie Arnold here. You see her on First Take. You see her on Sports Nation. You see her everywhere because, oh, girl, she full-time now. We love it. But I'm really excited because, you know, as we keep that same energy, there was a jersey drop today, and a lot of people are saying that it's fire. Find out exactly whose jersey dropped, and you guys already know that I'm going to love it, so maybe that's a hint right there. But first and foremost, we sort of touched on Tom Brady on First Take today because he is living his best life, obviously. But Charlie, what more is at stake
sure
for Tom?
Is. Okay, so Tom Brady just won his 7th Super Bowl. All right, he lives in Tampa Bay. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got an adorable little family. He has endorsement deals across the board. I mean, you're right, Janae, the man is living his best life. So yesterday, Tom Brady went on Good Morning America to talk about everything, his recent Super Bowl win, his family, his future in the NFL. He made it very clear he has no intention of slowing down. So the good news on that front is that he's going to have most of his Super Bowl weapons back on the Bucs this year. So, Kimberly, all of this being said, all right, the cards are lined up in favor of Tom Brady, but, you know, things can always happen, all right? The universe works in mysterious ways. What can stop Tom Brady from winning Super Bowl number 8 this year?
Ladies, there are only two things that can stop Tom Brady. That's going to be Father Time, because he's going to be 44 when training camp comes around. So that's number one, Father Time. And also history. There's a reason that Super Bowl teams don't repeat usually. I think there's 7 teams that have done that. And the last team was actually Tom Brady's Patriots, 2003-2004. So history is not on his side in that regard. But as I said on First Take, ladies, he's not going to make me look silly. He is not. Because there have been many times I've said, I don't know. Tom doesn't seem the same, guys. I don't know. Tom seems like, those passes aren't going as far as they used to. And guess what? He makes everybody look silly every single year. And for him to make that power move and say, okay, this thing in New England didn't work out. It's not going any further. Let me go down to Tampa, a team that no one thought was an instant, hey, plug them in the Super Bowl, they're going to be champs. That was a work in progress. So I think that Tom Brady has a good shot to repeat because he's Tom Brady. He's the exception. So that's what I think, even though history is not on his side. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's really difficult when you put, like, oh, 43 years old, quarterback, you know, but then you realize it's Tom Brady. It's like, oh, no, we know that he's likely going to win. And we joked about it on First Take today because Charlie was right. She made the right Super Bowl prediction, and she's holding it against both of us, Kimberly.
Oh, thank you and for bringing it up because I was going to, but now I don't have to.
Yes, there you go, sis. Feels and the good. Only thing I'll say, the one thing that really helps Tom Brady, especially pursuing number 8, which is wild to even say, I really look at the NFC with the Seahawks that have an interesting quarterback situation. You look at the Packers where they're not showing love to their quarterback, so much so that he's like, maybe I should join Jeopardy. I like Matthew Stafford on the Rams, but still it's hard to do it in one season, even though the Bucks were able to do it. But it was Tom Brady doing it, who had a blueprint to so many Super Bowls. And so I look at the NFC and I'm like, man, this man could really do it. But like you said, Kimberly, it's probably going to be health, availability, and, of course, Father Time, even though it seems like Tom Brady and LeBron James have figured out how to cross Father Time up.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there right now. Let's see, what day is it? It's April 8th, 2021, 8th? At approximately 6:38 p.m. Eastern Time. The Bucks are going to win another Super Bowl. All right. It's going to happen. I think that there's a couple ways this could go, but the way I see it, we keep talking about Tom Brady. He is just in this place where he's really found himself, I think. You know, professionally, he's always been a stud. But really, he's reached the pinnacle of his career thus far. Personally, he's thriving. And everything just seems to be falling in line. And while something could fall out of place at any given moment. I just think the fact that they're bringing back essentially the entire team, one that developed such great chemistry over the course of the season. The rapport between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady is so great. There's just so many things working in their favor, and I think that there's going to be a level of comfort where they can go out there, and even though there will be a lot of pressure on their shoulders for having to repeat such a grand feat from the year prior, I also think that level of comfort is going to X out any of the negative that could come along with that. I think they're just going to go out there and do their thing. And look, Tom Brady, he's just going to be like, what do you want from me? I told you so. I've got 8 rings. He has 2 fingers left, all right? He can still wear his wedding ring from Giselle. That leaves 1 extra finger for, I don't know, maybe he goes and buys himself something nice to celebrate his victories. Or maybe he runs it back a 3rd year in a row and gets his 9th ring, and then he's got to retire because there's no fingers left.
Hey, we all want rings. I think we want 2 kinds. We want the personal ring, and your girl wants a professional ring, okay?
Are we talking rings?
Yes, we talking bling. I love y'all. But we do know that Tom Brady clearly is the GOAT, and I can say that word because Mike Golden Jr. has kind of banned it here because we overuse it. But we're always talking about Tom Brady, so everybody gives him respect. Everyone defers to him. But on our platform, First Take Her Take, we shout out Boss Ladies, and there is a new Boss Lady in the NFL at the nation's capital. Find out who. That's coming up next on the First Take, her takeover of Chanae and Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golden Jr., the podcast.
We have reached the end of the road, but we got to thank the Lone Ranger who joined us today,
and
Dan Orlovsky.
Can't let go.
Yes.
That was my first cassette.
That sounded really good. Really? It was?
No, did it? Wait, that sounded good?
Glee ESPN. Glee ESPN.
Fully.
Yes.
Fully Glee okay. ESPN. And
wait, someone earlier told me I had a good singing voice, and I was literally like, I'm sorry, are you deaf? I'm like actually asking because it was very confusing. Keep going.
Well, anybody who listens to Chanae and Golden Jr. knows I might be a little bit tone deaf, but it's all good. Okay, y'all would never tell me because
you're
family.
No, not you. Someone else said it earlier.
No, I get you. And speaking of family, we have to thank Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, who joined us today, broke down everything in the NFL alongside Kimberly A. Martin, from the Panthers picks availability to quarterbacks to look forward to in the draft. But right now, it is time to have some fun. We are Chanae and Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogwumike, Kimberly A. Martin, Charlie Arnold, the ladies of the First Take, her take over on ESPN Radio. And good news, y'all, because we will be running it back again tomorrow. Our family here, right here, the 3 ladies here will be here. And also, we'll be joined by Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst, right here during Chanae and Golden Jr. So look forward to more of us, the perfect way to set up your weekend. There's so much to be excited about. So why don't we do this, ladies? I know we had an early rise, but we're here, so let's keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chanae and Golden Jr.
As we keep that same energy on our podcast, First Take, Her Take, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review. We always shout out Boss Ladies, and this one's great. And the Washington football team announced Wednesday that it has hired Natalia Durantes to serve as its coordinator of football programs, making her the first Latina to fill that role in the NFL. Durantes will also become the 3rd woman to have this job. Durantes will obviously work closely with and coordinate schedules across various departments within the team, from medical to scouting, which is really important because we're still dealing with pandemic. And, you know, she will also work closely with head coach Ron Rivera. Kimberly, when you saw this news, were you like, oh my gosh, snaps and claps?
Of course she was.
Of course I was, especially, you know, I work for the Washington Post. I cover the Washington football team a few years ago, so I know this organization. I think it's easy to be cynical sometimes when the NFL hires women. I think some people are like, oh, okay, here we go with the PR. But we've seen from the Super Bowl, the Bucks and Lori Locus and Javadavar. I want to make sure I say that right. You know, we're seeing women get highlighted in positions that sometimes you don't see faces that look like them, and I think it's great. And, you know, a lot of these faces have also been white women. So I think to highlight Jennifer King as the first black full-time female coach, and now Natalia Durantes, the first Latina, I think it's big stuff, especially for this Washington team. I understand Dan Snyder. It's weird trying to steer the boat in the quote-unquote right direction when you've got the haze and the dark cloud of what the Snyder ownership has been like, all the drama and dysfunction. But since Jason Wright was hired the team president, first black team president in the NFL last year, this organization just continues to be about diversity and inclusion. So props to them, and good luck to Natalia.
Yeah, it's amazing to see, because this past summer, I mean, all was really doom and gloom as far as the Washington football team was concerned. I mean, we weren't even calling them the Washington football team less than a year ago. So things are really seeming to turn around in Washington, which is amazing. I think this is just the latest example of how they really are trying to diversify, and something that I think a lot of teams should start taking notes about, because, you know, it's one thing to make one hire, but you look at the track record now that's been going on, you know, the past half year or so in terms of the Washington football team. Natalia Durantes, the latest hire, but in the past 16 months, so excuse me, not half year, 16 months, Washington has hired a Hispanic head coach, Ron Rivera, the NFL's first black president, Kimberly, like you mentioned, Jason Wright, the NFL's first black female assistant coach, Jennifer King, the first woman to be part of a team's broadcast booth, Julie Donaldson. She also serving as the senior vice president of media, and also Washington hiring a black general manager earlier in the offseason in Martin Mayhew. So, I mean, wow. They're really stacking them up, and I think it's just great, because now you look around that organization, you're not seeing the same faces. You're not seeing people who look exactly alike, and I think this is just amazing for the generation now that looks up to these teams and their front offices and what they're doing, and saying, hey, that person looks like me. This is something achievable. I can do this too. So I love it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously still dealing with a lot of questions with that overall franchise, but it looks like, at least with the hires, they're moving in a more equitable direction.
Yeah.
Now, here we go, ladies. This is my personal favorite one, because as we keep that same energy, as a part of the WNBA's 25th anniversary season in 2021, players will wear new Nike jerseys with individual messages and city-specific, obviously, jersey designs, which y'all already saw the Sparks one. It's an amazing collection. They have three options, which is really cool. They call it the Rebel Edition, the Heroine Edition, and the Explorer Edition, which are fancy names. But, man, these jerseys look good and all have the 1 out of 144 notation to represent the number of players in the WNBA. Kimberly, what you think, girl, about these new jerseys?
I love it. I love it. You guys gonna be looking fresh to death. I love it. I love it. You know what? It's great to see, you know, watching the ladies unveil their jerseys and the excitement. It's like Christmas morning. Like, I love that, especially, you know, coming off the women's tournament. If you did not watch, you missed out on some amazing women's basketball. But it's just the continuation of a really, I hope, it's not just a moment. Like, I hope it's a movement. Like, we engage in women's sports and we see this excitement. Like, those, these jerseys, I love them. I love them. It's dope. So I'm very happy for you guys. I really am.
And, you know, you girls know I'm an indie girl. Did you see the Indiana Fever jerseys?
We know, Charlie. We know.
No, I know. But did you see the Indiana Fever jerseys? They're Stranger Things themed, because Hawkins, Indiana was where Stranger Things was set. These jerseys are dope. So I'm like, you know what, Indiana? Just another example why we do things right.
Charlie, your team, Los Angeles Sparks, I don't want to hear you shouting out anybody else. Keep that same energy. Is obviously brought to you by my computer for your training for a better life.
You're my girl. I'm all about the Sparks.
Thank you. If you want a jersey, you got to rock with the Sparks. But ladies, this has been really fun.
I promise you.
Good. This has been really fun. I know it's been a very, very long day, so let's make sure we pre-order our macchiatos and whatever the coffee is so that we're good, because we will be on First Take again tomorrow. And, of course, Monica McNutt will be joining us tomorrow on ESPN Radio. We'll do another day of the First Take, her takeover of Chynna and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I'm surrounded by boss ladies, and I love it. And speaking of boss ladies, Sarah Spain, boss lady, holding it down with Spain and Fitz, next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chynna and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.